broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, let's also add, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And a quick recap of yesterday's show. We don't have time to even talk about most of the details, but we did talk to Brian Rust of RustCoinAndGift.com. Gold, silver doing quite well as the economy starts to tank over the, quote, coronavirus. It's also important to know that Good Samaritans are doing great things. There's a lot of good news that the mainstream press just simply doesn't focus on. And we talked about RV living grows as the latest consequence of the housing crisis. People just can't afford homes. So the streets are being filled with vehicles of, well, homeless people doing the best they can. They say the party's over. It begins. People are switching from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party big time. I agree with Kurt. I wish we could just jettison the whole partisan politics thing altogether. I wish the party was really over. Now, Tim Tebow does a great job, gets a home run. Phenomenal job. We talked about second hour. We talked about this $10 million food stamp fraud. We talked about $18 million in meth, heroin, cocaine seized at the Texas border. Between those two stories, that's a lot of money, folks. Dick Morris thinks Hillary Clinton will get the nomination, that Bloomberg's positioning that to happen. Time will tell. We hear that front runners are going to be shut down by the Democratic Party. Vote fraud everywhere. We talked about the White House net neutrality big time, and I told you that it's the Hegelian dialectic at work. The bottom line is government needs to get out of the way and leave to the open internet. But they won't. The government will continue to pick winners and losers. Skip Bayless says LeBron James wants to be president. Would you vote for LeBron James? I'd vote for Tim Tebow. We need a constitutionalist in the White House, folks. That's what we need. Somebody who understands the supreme law of the land. When they make an oath, they need to keep it. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic Friday. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Absolutely. Tonight, an event going on. Loving Liberty is proud to welcome our great friend and patriot, Jeanette Finnicum, to Liberty Hall. That's this Friday, tonight, February 28th at 6 p.m. She will give an update on the wrongful death lawsuit for the murder of her husband, Lavoy Finnicum, back in 2016. She will be joined by Mark Hare of the Center for Self-Governance, and he will be showing the next episode of the documentary, Dead Man Talking, about Jeanette's late husband, Lavoy Finnicum. The event tonight, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Loving Liberty Hall. It's free. No registrations required, ladies and gentlemen. The bookstore will be open as well. Kirk Crosby and Sam Bushman and many others will be there. It'll be at the Liberty Hall venue, 3677 North, Highway 126. Yeah. It's in Far West Utah. And so it's tonight, 6 p.m. It's free. Hope you all attend. Great stuff going on. We'd like to thank Liberty Hall for their hosting the event, giving Jeanette and others a chance to speak out and tell a story that must be told in America, folks. It's free. Please attend tonight, 6 p.m. Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. All right, Kurt's stories yesterday. We'll just kick them off and roll down the list, man. Got a ton of them. Appeals courts first, Kurt.
That's right, and, you know, it looks like at least maybe some more good news. The headline reads, Appeals Court, Trump can withhold funding from sanctuary cities. Now, you know, at least to me, you could say this is good news both ways. I think that the states ought to withhold money that's supposed to go to the federal government if the feds aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And I guess you could say, what is it, vice versa? Is that how they say that, Sam? But anyway, you know, in this case, what they're talking about is cities who say, hey, man, you can't come in and get those illegal immigrants here. You know, we want to protect those. You know, they typically don't want to worry about protecting their own citizens. But, you know, illegal immigrants, yeah, they do want to protect them, right?
Yes, and I agree with you that it goes both ways, Kurt. And there's only one modification I'd make to this good news story. And it basically says that Trump, let's see, Trump can withhold funding. I hope it says Trump does withhold funding. So I agree. Mm-hmm. Trump won in the courts, and now let's just take it to the next level and get it done.
Yeah, this was the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, where they ruled that the Trump administration has the authority to withhold federal grant money from sanctuary jurisdictions due to their failure to meet federal requirements that include abiding by federal immigration law.
Amen to that. The next headline is equally as important, Kurt.
Yeah, the Trump administration to strip citizenship from foreign-born terrorists and criminals. I mean, you read it and you think, what, we don't already do that? I mean,
I hear that. The other question is, how do these terrorists and foreign-born criminals become citizens in the first place? Maybe we ought to start there, huh, Kurt?
Right. Well, that's the key, if you ask me, you know, and yet I guess they probably are just good contributors at the right
maybe so, but I do have a little bit of a fly in the ointment on this. I hope we really pay attention to due process. You know, you can say, well, they shouldn't have been a citizen in the first place, and, you know, I get all those things. Okay, but the fact is, if they are citizens, they deserve due process, Kurt.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And that's one thing that's kind of left out of this piece, as far as I can tell.
I guess
I'm not saying they're not doing it, they're just not talking about it, right?
They say it's a Justice Department unit that's focused on revoking U.S. citizenship obtained through fraud. So, at least to me, that would make it pretty simple there. If, you know, if you got your citizenship through fraud, then you shouldn't have had it. And I guess they say the new function, or new section, section of the Justice Department, I guess, will function, they say, as another arm of the Department of Justice's Office of Immigration Litigation. They say its purpose will be the denaturalization of those who obtained citizenship procured by concealment of a material fact or by willful misrepresentation. Specifically, they say they will target those who neglected to disclose previous terrorist or criminal activities or affiliations on their N-400 naturalization form. I've never even heard of that, but, you know, I mean, it does go more into detail and say, hey, you know, if they're criminals and they've gotten to be a citizen based on lies.
Usually fraud lies, yes.
And, yeah, then they shouldn't be. Which
I agree, and I think we should vet it and pull some due process, but I think we got to take quick, decisive action. That's for sure. We can't be just running around, you know, timid while American citizens are
Janice?
In danger, Kurt. Go ahead. Do I remember what?
Remember that thing called Janus that we've heard about a lot from...
Well, you got to put it in perspective so people know. We're talking about this new law on the books relating to the Labor Department, the UNLB, right?
I guess so.
And we're talking about our buddy, the Patrick
story,
Simmons, that joins us on the Radio Monthly, who's highlighted that. And the righttowork.org worked to pass this Janus law. And the Janus law relates to, you know, your ability to work without government force to be part of a union. That's the discussion, right, Kurt?
I think in this case, maybe they're just talking about it in a different way, or maybe it's they mentioned Operation Janus in this story. They say the need for the team comes primarily from a marked increase in such cases due to the efforts of fraud investigations by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. That's USCIS.
So Operation Janus might be something entirely different, Kurt. What you need to do is you need to put
like
that story on ice. You need to go research it and come back with knowledge is what you got to do. Right? Because otherwise we just sound ignorant. I have no idea.
More of the big government, but they say
for sure it's that.
This thing uncovered hundreds of thousands of immigration cases in which paper fingerprint information was not entered in the central database. I mean, imagine that, Sam. They say recent cases that would now fall under this section's purview include an Egyptian Al-Qaeda recruiter, an Osama bin Laden collaborator, a Bosnian soldier convicted of war crimes, and a serial sexual abuser. I wonder if it was like Captain Crunch or whatever. But anyway, the team will focus exclusively on those who both committed such crimes before coming to the U.S. and then lied about their past during the immigration process.
All right, anyway, let's rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of hard-hitting talk radio straight ahead on your radio. We got live update from CPAC from our buddy Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union. That and the More Perfect Union are the only two unions I like because they're the only ones that aren't forced. All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds on your radio.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, want to make sure you know about it tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Loving Liberty is proud to present Jeanette Finnicum to Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. It starts at 6 p.m. An update on the wrongful death lawsuit relating to her husband that was murdered by the government, Lavoie Finnicum. They're also going to be watching the movie Dead Man Talking. It's all free, 6 p.m. tonight. Be there. I will and hope you join us. All right. Let's see. Obama's in the news, and he's what, defending Joe Biden now, Kurt?
Yeah, Sam, I don't know if you heard much about this, but I guess there's something called a plantation attack ad that they put together against Joe Biden. And
when you say
so
they, you've got to be clear
Obama,
so it's not confusing. They meaning the Republicans, right, Kurt?
I'm not sure. Says Obama demands removal of plantation attack ad against Biden. And in
so
the article, it says, well,
his rivals,
it says the ad created by the Committee to Defend the President Super PAC. So I don't know.
Yeah, so
I assume that means a Trump. Yeah, okay. They call it a pro-Trump group. And so,
yeah, pro-Trump Super PAC has got to be Republican by nature, though, right?
Yeah. So Mr. Obama is saying you got to pull that sucker.
What are you going to do if they don't?
I suppose, well, anyway, it says.
It says appeals. No, let's see. What are they going to do?
I don't think that they'll. I mean, I doubt that they'll just stop it. But anyway, Obama Communications Director Katie Hill described the ad as despicable and straight out of the Republican disinformation playbook.
Darn right.
In the interest of truth in advertising,
the problem with it, don't you,
we are
Kurt?
Calling them. What's that?
It's not out of the Democratic disinformation playbook.
Good point. Anyway, in the interest, she says, of truth in advertising, we are calling on TV stations to take this ad down and stop playing into the hands of bad actors who seek
Darn
to right. sow division and confusion among the electorate. Yeah.
What do you think about the whole thing, Kurt? Have you seen the ad?
No, I haven't.
Kurt, what you got to do is you got to go onto the Google there. You got to type in plantation attack ad space YouTube, and then pretty soon you'll be watching that dude, and you can tell us about it.
And if I
is it despicable?
That,
Kurt?
Oh, I'm
so
sure
we gotta
it
know.
Is. If she
hopefully,
says
Kurt will watch that
despicable.
Dude on the next break, and we can tell you how despicable that sucker really is. But it's just
despicable.
Nothing more than partisan politics on steroids, Kurt. I mean, they're out of control.
They say that this is what it says in it. Okay, it says Joe Biden promised to help our community. It was a lie. Here's President Obama, the ad's narrator, says the ad includes the words of Obama's 1995 memoir, Dreams from My Father, to infer that his former vice president is a proponent of plantation politics that hurts the black community. The ad ends with the narrator stating, enough, Joe Biden won't represent us, defend us, or help us. Don't believe Biden's empty promises.
There you have
Seems
it.
Seems fine to me, you know.
By the way, I don't really deal with plantation politics. If people are good, honest Americans that will defend the Constitution, they're friends of mine, and if they want to destroy the freedoms that we have, then I just got to oppose them. It's that simple there now. I still pray for them and hope they can come have a come-unto-Jesus moment and everything else, but there you go. Right? That's how I roll, Kurt. But I'm a simpleton, though, right? Cops are stealing food, buddy.
Very good, Sam. Oh, and one more little tidbit. They say this Perkins Coie lawyer wrote in a letter to the pro-Trump group that did this ad, said this unauthorized use of President Obama's name, image, likeness, voice, and book passage is clearly intended to mislead the target audience of the ad into believing that the passage from the audiobook is a statement that was made by President Barack Obama during his presidency, when it was, in fact, made by a barber in a completely different context more than 20 years ago. To this end, the Committee to Defend the President must immediately remove this ad. Further, it just goes on and on, but bottom line is, hey, there's a battle going on, ladies
yes,
and
there
gentlemen.
Is. So where's Barack continues. Obama when all the out-of-context reality about Donald Trump is in place? For example, the two-year assertion about Donald in bed with the Russians, and it turned out to be a big old lie at taxpayers' expense. Hey, Barack, you're going to double down on that one too, buddy, and call a cease to the Democrat abuse of the president over false allegations that were proven bogus?
I don't think he's doing
See, that's
that.
The kind of
you
stuff that, I, you know,
so?
Well, they're just all partisan. It just shows nobody's trying to, you know, do the left-right reality check like we are, Kurt. And if this is really used out of context, then I'd be for saying, hey, it's, you know what, it's bogus. And I believe that might be out of context, Kurt. But again, they all do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my problem is if you're going to hold one accountable, let's hold them both accountable, or let's not hold either of them accountable. I prefer to hold both accountable. But that would mean, you know, folks from the left and the right and the Republicans and the Democrats would all be in the clink if it were up to me, right? And that's why a lot of people defend Roger Stone and say, oh, he should have no sentence whatsoever. This is a witch hunt. Maybe. But you know what? Roger Stone has committed some wrong. If you go look at the depositions in this thing, he's not completely squeaky clean, folks. Let's not pretend that he is. So I'm not completely defending Roger Stone. I'll say, you know what? I don't think he should get the sentence that he's, you know, they're talking about. I think it's too extreme, especially when Hillary runs around free, poised to possibly jump into the 2020 presidential race, etc. Okay, so I got a problem with all that. But let's be fair on both sides. Let's be honest. Let's call for due process. And let's create genuine accountability on all sides of the aisle, shall we? So remove that ad, Barack, but let's also then dig into your side of the aisle and get real specific about what wrongs and mischaracterizations are put there as well. Shall we? All right, the cops are stealing food, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, that's what the headline from Breitbart says. Report police stealing food donated to Chinese city under coronavirus. Well, let's see, lockdown, they say. So I guess what happened, Sam, over in the China's Hubei province, and I'm sure I said that properly, the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, reported this. They say thousands of tons of food were reportedly donated to EZHOU City, so I don't know if you call that EZHOU City, by a province called Guizhou, I'm sure.
Skip all that and just say a Chinese city, because no one knows those names, nobody cares, no one can pronounce them. There you go, right?
Yeah, began to experience food shortages following weeks of lockdown in a bid to contain the coronavirus. So, you know, people are all stuck in their place, they can't get out, so there's other people in other places that are contributing food, right? But according to posts across Chinese social media, and that's not controlled by their government, which the Epoch Times claims to have read, authorities stole or simply left to rot more than 1,000 tons of vegetables in warehouses. Some of the food that did end up in local markets was also sold to the public at excessively high prices. Police are believed to be behind the misappropriation. They said they, you know, I mean, there's a number of places they make a report about that.
Maybe the cops ought to follow the physician's creed. First, do no harm, Kurt.
Amen to that. And,
anyway, weird stuff. Bottom line, cops are stealing food in China.
It's just rough stuff going on there.
And the coronavirus is all out of control and people are suffering everywhere. And what we need to do is the opposite. We need to follow the Prince of Peace and make sure that people have food and that people have medical care and that people are well cared for. And, you know, sadly, the police are stealing the food. What they're doing with it, what their goal is, I don't really know, Kurt. Is it sabotage or do they need the food themselves? I mean, what's driving this? Do you know?
Well, I suppose it's just basically the whole thing's out of control, you know. I mean,
yes,
they're not used to having a pandemic to deal with. And, you know, they even had some group steal $130 worth of toilet paper. I mean, that should have been a major
headline. I'm telling you right now, you can steal food and everything else. Once you cross the line to steal the teepee, you're in trouble, man. Come on.
Amen to that.
All right, Kurt. By the way, somebody needs to call Greta Thunberg, Kurt. Somebody needs to bring the 16-year-old, you know, environmental activist to the United States. It'll take her a long time if she's hanging out in China. It'll be like the slow boat from China for real. Nevertheless, there's a reason to call her, Kurt.
Well, yeah, the headline reads, report, Uber and Lyft generate 69% more pollution in cities. Now, the thing that I find interesting about this, Sam, is they leave the government buses and all that kind of stuff out of it. You know, I mean, have you ever seen any reports about, like, how much...
No, heck no, those buses drive around empty all the time, and no one talks about their pollution. But don't worry, they spend extra money to be safe, Kurt. They run on, like, water... They run on hydrogen.
They put their exhaust thing coming out of the top of the bus so it doesn't look like it comes right straight at you.
Well, or even like some of the semis, Kurt, they store it in a tank on top and then they, you know, let it go at proper times where no one can realize.
At night.
But I got a couple other questions about this, too, because how come nobody's mentioning taxis, Kurt? They've been around just like Uber and Lyft for a long time, right?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Health Secretary Alex Azar saying as of now, most Americans should not be worried about the coronavirus outbreak here. At a White House event yesterday, he was cheering what he called President Trump's historically aggressive containment efforts. Meanwhile, in California, officials are trying to locate everyone that was in contact with a woman thought to be the first known coronavirus case in the nation of unknown origin. The woman lives near the San Francisco Bay Area, and Dr. Bella Matias is the Solano County Public Health Officer.
The individual is really only potentially infectious for about a three-day window before hospitalization occurred. And so we have a narrow enough window to work with that we can be very aggressive in identifying all of the possible contacts in the community.
Yesterday marked six straight trading sessions of plunges on Wall Street over coronavirus fears. The Dow lost nearly 1,200 points. This is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Not only are Democrats trying to get out the vote for Bernie Sanders in South Carolina in tomorrow's Democratic primary, but Republican activists are as well. Many Republicans, as well as more than a few Democratic Party leaders, believe the Vermont senator who's running as an avowed Democratic socialist would lose big to President Trump in November. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department's investigating claims that deputies shared graphic images of the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant and eight others. The photos that show human remains reportedly were shared with other officers who were not part of the investigation. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee is backing legislation to allow residents of his state carry a firearm without a permit. He says they have a responsibility to uphold the framework that the founding fathers established.
I'm announcing that we will be joining 16 other states in this nation by introducing a constitutional carry law in the state of Tennessee.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Yeah, buddy, good people doing good things, ladies and gentlemen. Constitutional carry proposed by the governor, Bill Lee, in Tennessee. You got to dig that, Kurt.
All right, yeah.
You on board with that, Kurt?
Constitutional carry. Am I on board?
Yeah.
The way it started out, I think it's constitutional, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And that's the way it ought to be. I don't know how we strayed from that in the first place, but at least Bill Lee's trying to bring it on back. I dig
and
it.
And that's in Tennessee, you said?
Yes, sir.
Very good. We've got a county commissioner named Bill Lee, by the way. That,
yeah, he's not doing the
same
thing,
the only guy. Well, the only thing he's doing is standing up against that tax increase. Out of the three commissioners, he's the only one that says that's too much.
Well, it's too much, but if we could get rid of property taxes entirely in the state, I'd trade it.
Oh, yeah.
Or if we can get an income tax entirely in the state, I'd trade it. But, there you go. Now, you, Uber and Lyft generate 69% more pollution in the cities, and I don't know how you figure that out anyway. Because how do you know when it's an Uber car or a Lyft car versus a Sam Bushman car, Kurt, or whatever?
And who's going around following those? And who's collecting all the, pollution and, doing that. But anyway,
but the other question comes to this too, Kurt, though. How come they're not talking about the taxis? Taxis have been around forever, Kurt. Uber and Lyft are nothing more than a taxi gone exploded, meaning that more and more folks are saying, well, if we can get rides cheaper, we won't drive our own car. So if I go to Las Vegas, just for instance, and I rent a car and I cruise around in my car versus I decide not to rent a car and then I go in the Uber, Kurt, am I really producing more pollution because of the Uber guy? Oh, yeah, Sam, because he had to come pick you up. My response is, yeah, but I got to start my car, right? Don't they tell me starting my car creates more pollution? So I just don't even understand any of this, Kurt. I don't understand how you'd ever get a handle on this reality. The problem is they want to attack Uber and Lyft because they really, you know, they attack the medallion, special privilege government licensing to have a taxi. Okay, this debate will never end, but I'm just telling you, call Greta. She'll solve it for you, buddy.
Good point, Sam. Yeah, I guess they say The Verge the reports that a recent study from the Union of Concerned Scientists alleges that the ride-hailing trips today produce 69% more climate pollution on average than the trips they displace. And like you said, I just can't even imagine how they come up with these numbers. They're just, you know, basically, I was going to say they're shooting and, you know, up in the air, but...
Well, let's say that five people come into the airport and five people need a ride to their hotel, and they all take different trips, all five of them. So there's five trips from airport to hotel. You know, you could say, well, renting a car is less environmentally problematic because you rent five cars, you drive five cars to the hotel and park them. You get an Uber and you got to go back to the airport, back to the airport, back to the airport. However, I would kind of come back and say, compare that to starting all those five cars. Compare that to making all those five cars. Compare that to renting all those five cars. Compare that to, and you got to, at the end of the day, figure out a net gain of reality, not just an isolated quote, whatever they want to manipulate us into. Because what if they rent cars that are more environmentally problematic than the Uber driver's cars? Or what if, okay, see, it just doesn't end. I mean, you can never, I don't see how you can ever, ever figure this out, Kurt.
This group that says this, they recommend that Uber and Lyft could reduce the amount of emissions with a more concerted effort to electrify its fleet of vehicles.
See, but I think electrify is a big old lie. When you create an electric vehicle, you got to create those batteries. You got to, all it does is shift the, quote, environmental impact somewhere else. So it's at the electric, you know, battery-making plant, not in the street, for instance. Or sometimes it's in China, not in America, for instance. But you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. You don't get environmental gains, Kurt. In any real environmental gains where there'd be disruptive technology that would decrease taxes and decrease expenditure on gas and disrupt the economy, they're not going to let those technologies come to the table anyway. We've got friends that are bringing those technologies to the table, and they're stuck at every turn. So I'm telling you, it's just bogus. I'd like to debate Greta on that. Greta, call me. Let's chat about it, sister. All right. Amazon wants to take over the grocery store business, Kurt.
Now, I thought we heard about this before, Sam.
We did, but it's the next stage, Kurt.
Oh, okay.
So Amazon continues to flex their muscle and get bigger and bigger and bigger in the grocery business. So when you say we heard of this before, you first heard they bought a grocer.
What was it? Whole Foods?
That's right. So you first heard they bought, that was their first, quote, foray into the biz, right? Then you heard that in Amazon territory in Seattle, they created a little store that you could just cruise in, grab what you want, and leave.
Like a little 7-Eleven kind of thing.
Maybe
something.
Even smaller, but yes. Just, yeah. Okay, but that was the first test, if you will. And it worked so well, now they just launched the next test, Kurt, which is a much bigger store, basically a full grocery store. Now, mind you, it's way smaller than most grocery stores to date, still, but it's more rich in terms of the products that are available. So they've, the first test, you know, had packaged things and things that were easy to detect and to categorize and to price and to charge or add to your cart on the fly, your virtual, you know, shopping cart. Okay, when you physically put it in your cart, they would add it to your virtual shopping cart and then, you know. Right. Well, this is the next step because now they're doing things like vegetables and fruit and things that are a lot harder to track. They say they've got that done now, and this new store is the launch. If it goes well, then it's not hard to make a bigger, even more complete store, and it's not hard to duplicate that across the country. So this is like step three in a series of steps where Amazon wants to take over the grocery business. So any questions, Kurt? It's just the next
step. Very good. Yeah, they explain it like this. They say Amazon is open to 10,400 square feet Foot store in Seattle for its checkout free Go Grocery Store. And they're going to stock over 5,000 items at the new location. The store uses a range of cameras, shelf sensors, and software to track items in the store, allowing shoppers to simply pick up items they want and walk out the doors. Their accounts are then charged via a smartphone app as they leave. Amazon's been running a number of these stores since 2018, but this is the first time the technology has been implemented on such a large scale. They say shoppers at the Seattle location can choose from a wider range of products than at the other Go Grocery stores. The store has also been positioned closer to residential areas as opposed to business districts to encourage shoppers to choose the store for their usual weekly shop. So
yeah, and like I said, the difference is in the harder to track or harder to put a finger on categories. Like, you know, when you get, let's say you go and you bag a bunch of
tomatoes.
Yeah, great idea. Or mushrooms or whatever, peppers. And, okay, how do you track all that? Well, they've now got that down to a science they claim as well, and they say they're over 99% accurate. And it's pretty neat. A lot of people are saying, I sure want a store like that in my neighborhood because, you know, the self-checkout lanes at other places are problematic, to say the least. You get stuck and you got to call over the guy and say, hey, can you fix this? And can you, you know, and oh, don't worry about that. And he puts in a code and you're good to go. And then he walks away and then you get stuck again. And okay, so it's a new change in the game deal. And it's pretty neat. And it's certainly technology disrupting because, again, if you get that done, Kurt, you won't need near as many people running your store. They say there'll still be a few people for a few purposes, but for the most part, hey, they're really, you know, taking a swipe at the, quote, employment in the retail in this spot. Because if you can get this done, you can almost change any retail brick and mortar to robot-driven, what do you want to call it? Artificial intelligence checkout process might be the best way to describe it. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say, I guess in a previous statement, Amazon has said they hope to open as many as 3,000 Go Grocery stores by 2021. So 3,000 is quite a few.
Sounds aggressive.
Right? It does.
Yeah. So what do you think, though? No employees there, Kurt. You liking that, buddy?
Well, you know, it's kind of makes me think of when the computer's working good and everything's all connected, you know, it's pretty cool. But, man, what happens when you get some fly in the ointment, Sam? I mean, are you back to the good old days? And you're like, hey, man.
No, buddy, you can't be back to the good old days because there's no way to check out, buddy.
I know.
So now it's like, hey, the cash register won't open because we don't have any electricity. Then it'll be, we can't even do anything because there's no electricity. Got to just manually close the doors and hope, you know, people don't raid the store before. You know, I don't know what plans they have in place for all that, but your questions are spot on and your concerns are legitimate, Kurt. Yeah. But again, remember, we're told biblically in Revelation, hey, there's no way to buy or sell without your, you know, artificial intelligence automated process there, buddy. So they're working on it. Speaking of that, Apple's facing a little bit of what? Backlash, Kurt?
Well, yeah, they've got more trouble than this, I think. But the headline reads, Apple faces shareholder vote criticizing censorship on behalf of communist China. And they've got other, Apple's got some other troubles with their, you know, delivery of their products.
Kurt wants to talk about it all. We'll do it in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Far West, Utah, LovingLiberty.net presents at Liberty Hall, Dead Man Talking, documentary about Lavoie Finicum, how the government literally murdered this wonderful constitutionalist. Bottom line is, wife will be speaking there as well. We'll watch the documentary. She'll speak and give an update on the lawsuit. She sued the government because they murdered her husband. Folks, you got to know about this. I'm telling you, tonight, 6 p.m., Far West, Utah, Liberty Hall, free. No registration, no payment required. Just come. It'll be phenomenal. Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, many others will be there. We pray you attend as well. All right, back to the news. Apple could have been in trouble. There's a big old, battle curtain. What, folks are voting?
Well, yeah, we're talking about the shareholders voting. They say that tech giant Apple is facing a shareholder vote on a proposal critical of the company's decision to remove apps from its store at the request of the Chinese government. Shareholders want to ask Tim Cook and his company if it is publicly committed to respect freedom of expression as a human right. Reuters reported this, that Apple shareholders are going to vote on this proposal, critical of the company's decision. But doesn't this kind of sound like the NBA and their, deal in China, Sam? I mean, you know, when you're dealing with the Chinese government or any government, you're pretty much going to have to play by their rules, it seems like, Sam.
Yeah, and the other problem is, in my mind, Kurt, you know, how broad is this app pulling? Is it only in China that, hey, you either let them pull a couple of apps and keep your app store up and running in China, or you get your app store completely shut down? So I don't know really what control Apple has. Just kind of like the NBA, I'm not defending their position, but I am saying, hey, you're dealing with the communists, folks. Not a most favored nation partner, buddy. You're dealing with the communists. And so the question then becomes, what apps are being pulled? And you know what? If there's apps that have spyware in them or problematic apps that breach privacy and all these kind of things, then you know what? Maybe they ought to pull them. I don't know what's being pulled. I don't know if it's a attack on, quote, First Amendment equality rights in China. Or if this is we got to dig into every app and you'd have to discuss it case by case to know what's really going on and what's really a fair discussion surrounding this. These headlines, I believe, are quite unfair to not only Apple and many times, but the NBA. It makes it sound like the Chinese government is, on one hand, our most favored nation partner, on the other hand, a dictator of epic proportions. And, you know, but what do you do if you're Apple, or what do you do if you're the NBA? What do you do if you're just a small player in this, Kurt?
Good point. I guess they say the vote on freedom of expression focuses mainly on Apple's decision in 2017 to remove virtual private network apps from its app store in China, which allowed users to bypass China's Great Firewall, which restricts access to overseas websites.
Right. So Apple flexes its muscle and says, no, we're not going to remove these apps from our store. So now the Chinese can download something to circumvent the government controls. But then they just shut down Apple's store. Then you can't get the app and you can't have anything Apple at all, which is better, Kurt. So what I mean is this is a non-starter discussion of who has what control where. And I'm not so sure that Apple losing their app store in China makes sense. I don't see how that's better if they stay strong or try to fight the communist government over this. I mean, how is Apple going to win against the communist government, Kurt, in this? What I mean is it's a no-win situation unless nations decide they're going to back a play and get involved. I don't see how a single company, no matter how big they are, can change the game, right? So I'm not defending Apple, but I am saying I think it's a little bit more complicated, technologically speaking, than they're making it sound, Kurt. They're just making it sound like, oh, Apple caved to the communist Chinese. And, well, that's kind of true, but not exactly, right? So we'll see what the shareholder vote holds.
Well, yeah. And another, you know, Apple-connected thing that I didn't put on there that I just thought I'd ask you about. There's a headline from New York Post says, Apple's China factories close to resuming full production, Tim Cook says. And how true do you think that is, Sam? I mean,
well, first of all, I think that the statement that the iPhone sales are going to be down big time because of China production, I think is true. However, I think it's only part of the story. I think Apple phones are down because they're darn expensive, too. Okay? So people just can't afford to upgrade their phone every year at over $1,000 a pop, Kurt. It's just not a sustainable reality. So I think that Tim Cook is literally covering up a lot of the reduction in sales and using this coronavirus excuse to kind of act as the only reason that this is down. I think it's a lot of reasons, and that the coronavirus is only part of it. Do I believe there's a slowdown in the factories? Oh, yeah, I'm positive there are. Do I believe they're back to full production almost? No, I don't. Okay, I think it's worse than they're all admitting. I don't think that the coronavirus is the end of the world and the sky is falling and everybody's going to get sick and everybody's going to die and it's going to be 10 times worse than the, you know, 1918 flus and all that stuff. I don't believe that either, Kurt. I do believe it was created in a lab, like our buddy Stephen Mosher from pop.org came on the radio and told us about. He thinks it was by accident. I think it was on purpose. I believe what Rush has to say about that it's a takedown attempt of Donald Trump to just attack the economies. I believe that. I think it's just to show how much control the communists have over the world. I think it's also to manipulate Donald Trump and make things look bad for him. I think it's also a continued, every time they release this, it becomes a grand experiment on the people of the world. And I think every time a SARS virus, a coronavirus, these things come, they act like, oh, golly, there's just a big old error here. I don't believe so. I believe they're testing on the people. They're literally using us all as human experiments. And I believe every time they're tweaking the virus to make it transmit more rapidly and be more deadly and more problematic by nature. And I think every time one of these gets released, it's going to be more and more and more impactful till eventually there will be one that'll be catastrophic, that will be pandemic reality, not pandemic hyperbole. I believe that's happening. So to answer your question, I believe the coronavirus is intentional. You can say, well, where's your proof, Sam? We don't have any proof of anything. Intentional or not, in a lab or in a meat open market or wherever, we don't have any proof of any of these things. Nobody knows where it all came from, right? Okay, so no one knows if the Chinese government covered it up or if they were just trying to be respectful and not make it worse and not create panic. You know, you don't know by the decisions made what the truth is of intentions, right? That's the problem. Nevertheless, I bring this back to the Apple discussion and say, yeah, I think it's going to impact their sales for sure. But I don't believe that's the only reason that iPhones are down in terms of their number of sales, not only globally, but in America, especially. But I will say this. I believe that they're not back to full production, Kurt. I mean, they might have more production than they had a month ago. But if you think they're going to be at full production and their sales are not going to be massively impacted, you're crazy. They will be, and they are. So there you have that. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Very good, Sam. I thought you might have something to say about it.
All right, Panasonic's in the news.
Yeah. Now, well, anyway, here's the headline, ladies and gentlemen. A report, Panasonic will exit production at Tesla's New York Gigafactory as partnership phrase. So I didn't even know Panasonic and Tesla were working together.
Well, why would you know that, Kurt? They're working with all kinds of high-tech partners, buddy. Their cars are super high-tech, right? And I'm sure they're working with hundreds of different partners, and I don't know about any of them because I don't study Tesla.
Yeah, very good.
But what do you think of the fray and the melt? You know, why do you think the meltdown occurred?
Well, and this Giga factory, does that mean it's just some massive factory in New York?
Well, it's a high-tech factory, so it denotes all these things. Big, high-tech, automated, artificial intelligence.
They say it's in Buffalo, New York. They say the facility, it's increasingly seen as a billion-dollar boondoggle for the state. So looks like the state handed them over probably a bunch of tax
Well, and this is my problem with Tesla. Everything Tesla touches, Kurt, with rare exception, turns out to be a big old massive boondoggle. And every time Tesla gets rich and the governments melt down. Everywhere I see that all the time.
It sure looks like it.
I mean, where's the boring tunnel technology going on? Where's the Hyperloop awesome trains going on that we're supposed to have? Where's the, okay, we go on and on and on and on. He promised this big old truck and, oh man, let's bash this window in. It's stronger than heck, shatter. Oh, what a disaster. What a fiasco. Oh, we promised the truck, let's sell a ton of them. Oh, we don't even have them yet. What? Okay, it just goes round and round with this Tesla guy. Okay, now Panasonic is finding out this guy's a shamster too. Now, if Tesla's for real, then let's let it exist in the private sector. Let's get the regulation out of the way. Let's get him on his own without government funding and money and forcing me as a taxpayer to pay for it. And let's see if Tesla can produce on his own. And if he can, and he can do it at a sweet spot that brings people new benefit, a better mousetrap to their door, then let the sales roll and let him become a rock star. Otherwise, I'm not buying it, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah, they say Tesla has reportedly informed New York that Panasonic's withdrawal has no bearing on Tesla's current operations, alleging that the company employs 1,500 people in the city of Buffalo. The company had committed to employ 1,460 people in the city and cleared that figure in April, avoiding a $41 million penalty. The employee numbers...
So let me stop you there. A $41 million penalty. So here's what happened. The government gave so much money to Tesla that if he didn't deliver enough back to the taxpayers, then there was going to be a $41 million penalty. So here's what he did. He hired enough people to pay like $21 million and to avoid the $41 million penalty. I don't know the exact numbers. I'm making the point, which is, hey, this is how it always happens. As long as the dollars are better in his favor, he'll do whatever. Why not hire a few low-wage people or whatever temporarily or who knows what? I don't know all the parameters. I'm just saying it would be pretty easy to hire enough people to get away from the $41 million penalty kind of thing, right? So, again, it's just government brings this guy in. This guy promises the world, and it's not all panning out and people aren't happy. We got to quit doing that, Kurt, whether it be Google, whether it be Amazon, whether it be Tesla, whether it be whoever, highfalutin, whatever the, we think this is going to be the next, thing since sliced bread scenario. We got to jettison that idea and say government has no business creating winners and losers, no business stealing money from families called taxpayers to fund this agenda that goes south every time. They need to quit doing it. And to say that Panasonic won't have any effect, then here's my question for Tesla. Why include them in the first place if they don't provide any value, Tesla or Elon Musk? Why would you even include Panasonic if they're not bringing anything of value? Right? If them leaving makes no impact in the negative, why even have them around in the first place, Kurt?
Good point. They say that New York State spent $959 million to build and equip the Buffalo factory.
See, that is insanity.
Yep.
And could anyway, that guy have even built the factory without that in cash or infusion of cash from the poor family taxpayer, Kurt? The answer is no. This is what I'm talking about. The guy's a fraud. And then he runs around and says, oh, Panasonic leaving won't have any impact. Okay, what's the next partner to flee? They won't have any impact either? All right, Google's in a tough spot too, Kurt, speaking of high tech.
Yeah, good point. This one, the headline reads, lawsuit, Google secretly monitors millions of kids. Don't they just monitor everybody?
Yeah, Kurt, but I don't believe it's
Google,
a secret either.
So,
I mean, when have you heard Google's not monitoring?
To me.
Everybody knows Google's monitoring everywhere. They've been caught at it like 3,000 times with no real accountability, Kurt.
I guess that's the secret.
I see.
No accountability.
All right, Washington Post. Wages are rising in tight labor market, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, apparently, there's more people that want a job, and they and now the Post is suggesting to import more workers, but the president's saying, hey, man, why don't we just let people earn more money and you'll get more of our guys working.
But what's the last word in this headline?
It says workers for business.
Oh.
Last word. Yeah, it says Washington Post wages are rising in tight labor market, but import more workers for business?
I see. We just need another S on that business. Got it. This nation shall endure.